Why, hello there, everyone. Welcome back to a brand new episode of Books on the Move. My name is Danielle, and today we're going to be talking about a book called The Wizard's Tide by Frederick Buechner. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Books in the Move. My name is Danielle, and happy 2019. It feels good to be in the new year, I have to say. And I know that's kind of an unpopular opinion. I've noticed that a lot of people just were not looking forward to 2019. And I can kind of sympathize with them. A lot of it's for, like, political reasons, you know, just stuff of that nature. It's been kind of sucky. But I've been looking forward to 2019 for a very long time because I'm a big video game person, and I've been looking forward to a video game that's coming out very soon, like in 4 days for me. So I'm super pumped about this year. I know good things are going to come, and I hope good things come for this podcast because, truth be told, I haven't been reading very much, and that might be like, wait, you just said good things were coming for the podcast, but no, let me explain. So for the past few days, I've been kind of contemplating if I wanted to keep doing this podcast, which tends to happen a lot with me. I'll start a project and then, you know, I'll be really excited about it, but then time will pass and I'll be like, oh, yeah, not sure if I want to do that anymore. And the truth is that I think I'd be sad if I stopped Books on the Move. It's still a project that I really want to work on and I'm excited about, so definitely going to continue with it. It's going to be an awesome 2019. If you have been listening to these episodes, then you know that at some point this year, I am going to be reading Les Miserables. But I'm not quite sure when that will be. But that's going to be like our little book club. So I'll just, whenever I post episodes, try to keep everybody in the know. But at the moment, I'm actually working on another big project. So that kind of takes precedence. But we'll see what happens. But anyway. And I will, of course, inform you about that project later in this episode. But anyway, I figured for 2019, I would not only, you know, have the book club and post, you know, some episodes of me talking about my favorite books, but I would talk about books that I have read this year. So whenever I finish a book, I will talk about it in an episode on this podcast. And in the beginning, I'll talk without spoilers, then I'll give a spoiler warning, and you can, you know, peace out or stick around if you don't care. So today I'm going to be talking about a book that I read, the first and only book I've read in 2019, because like I said, I haven't been reading much. And the book is The Wizard's Tide by Frederick Buechner. And I'm probably saying his last name wrong, but, you know, what can you do? I feel like that's just going to happen on this show. I'm sorry. I don't put enough time and effort into it to, like, look up how to pronounce these names, so I apologize. But anyway, I am sure you have not heard this book. If you're familiar with the author, you might have heard of it, but I wouldn't even say this is one of his well-known pieces of literature. Frederick Buechner, I'm trying to think, hopefully you would know this, but he was a contender to win the Pulitzer Prize. I don't remember what year, but it was for his book called Godric. And that is a book that I've actually attempted to read twice and couldn't get into, mostly because I was just really confused. I was like, what am I reading? So I'm definitely going to give it a shot, hopefully soon. But, you know, there's so many other books. Like right now I'm looking at my floor. My room's just a mess right now because of all the projects I'm working on. And like, one section of my room is just like these books stacked up that I want to read, and like, it's like, yeah, I told myself I want to get to Godric, but like, am I really going to get to Godric anytime soon? Probably not. But I did get to read his book, The Wizard's Tide. So The Wizard's Tide is a story about a family who lives during the Great Depression, and they're a wealthy family, so they're trying to figure out how to go about their lives now that they might not be able to be as wealthy anymore. That's the basic premise. The story is surrounded, or I shouldn't say surrounded, focused on the son, the older son. There's two children, Teddy And he also has a younger sister named Bean. That's not her full name, but they call her that. And I don't remember her full name. They only mention it once in passing. And I was like, oh, thank God they didn't name her Bean because I was a little concerned there. But yeah, so. Oh, by the way, if you're wondering like how I'm moving this episode, I'm literally pacing back and forth in my bedroom for reasons that I just won't go into. It's a long story. It's fine. But anyway, so the Wizard's Tide, before I get into spoilers, because there's not too much to talk about before spoilers, I will say that my overall opinion of this book is not too great. I'll try to be quick about this explanation, but basically, eventually I'm going to be posting an episode talking about my favorite books. Buchner has written one of my favorite books of nonfiction called Telling the Truth, and it's an incredible book, and it was the first book I read by him. I absolutely love it. And after I read it, I knew I wanted to read more of this author. So I think I read that book in 2012 or 13, but I didn't come back to him until 2017, which is when I read his book, The Book of Beb, which is actually four books collected into or included in one collection. And The Book of Beb, I struggle with because I liked some of the books in it, but I also really disliked some of the books. And like I think the first book I liked the best, which I believe is called Lion Country, but all the books, what they have in common is that they're like a series. They all surround a character named Beb, and I feel like to get into the series, you have to actually like Beb, and I couldn't stand Beb, so I was like, oh, well, this sucks. But even though that book or that collection is not my necessary favorite, if you will, I still think that it is a great example of Buchner's incredible writing style. He's a fantastic writer, very thought-provoking. I actually heard of him because I took a Christian literature class in college. It was a secular take on Christian literature, which is probably the best way to learn about Christian literature. And I think Buchner, like several other authors that are in kind of the same circle as him, and in terms of like the perspective they have on Christianity, and or I shouldn't say perspective, but the way they approach writing about their faith, i.e., Marilynne Robinson. What's another one? I can't think of one right now, but maybe it'll come to me. But they seem to value literature over faith when it comes to writing books. And that's really important to me because what that tells me is that they care more about their craft than indoctrinating people. And I find that Christian literature falls into that hole far too often, which is why I appreciate Buchner because I think that he approaches Christianity in such a new and fascinating way, and it keeps me wanting to come back for more. This book is not really faith-based. I think the kids go to church once. It's mentioned in passing, but out of all of Buchner's books, this has to be the least religious text that I've ever come by of his. The Wizard's Tide is a little over 100 pages. And like I was saying, continuing my thought, I actually read another book by Buchner last year called The Alphabet of Grace, which is a nonfiction title. Didn't really like it that much. I don't know, I just couldn't get into it, didn't think it was that. Like, I honestly found it a bit pretentious, to be honest, which is like crazy for me to say because I love this author, but that particular work I did not like. So I got rid of that book. But needless to say, I feel like I've had a complicated relationship when it comes to Frederick Buchner. But I still like am incredibly excited about his fiction and his writing in general, and I really, was excited to read this book. So, and I was intrigued by it too, because I was like, The Wizard's Tide, is it like a fantasy book? I wonder, how this is gonna play out. Spoilers, it's not a fantasy book. The title is actually referring to, and let me see if I can find it. I don't know if I will. Let's see. So basically, oh, here it is. Okay, so basically, our main character, Teddy, is a very sensitive boy who likes books a lot. And he really loves the Wizard of Oz books by L. Frank Baum. And I'll just read this paragraph, or this sentence maybe, because I'm trying to find where it starts off so I can explain it properly. Magically. Let me see. Where is it? Where is it? You can just remember this is not edited. I'm looking because the word I'm looking for is like it will stand out on the page. So that's why. Oh, here is this it? Yes, okay. So I'm on page 4 in the book, and I'll just read this paragraph. In one of them called The Magic of Oz, there was an old man who knew a magic word you could use for transforming anything into anything else. If only you knew how to pronounce it. The word was spelled PYRZQXGL. Teddy understood perfectly well that it was just a fairy tale, but with part of himself, he believed in magic, and for that reason, even though he felt a little silly doing it, he used to try different ways of pronouncing the magic word, just in case. He was apt to do this, especially in bed at night, when he thought he could tell from Bean's breathing that she was asleep. He would whisper, "Are you asleep, Bean?" And if he got no answer, he would try to think up some pronunciation he'd never thought of before and say them under his breath. If he ever got it right, there were all sorts of things he would have liked to be able to do, like changing the play money in their Monopoly set into real money so they wouldn't have to worry about being poor anymore, or changing all the dresses in his mother's closet into beautiful new ones so she wouldn't get mad so much, or changing the cocktails his father drank when he came home in the evening from looking for a job into something that didn't make his face feel clammy and cold when he came to kiss him and bean goodnight. So that actually pretty much gives a good setup of what this book is about. It tells you a lot in that paragraph that you might not realize until you finish the book. So it's actually kind of cool to read that back. But yeah, so partially this book is very focused on that idea that his fa Teddy's family is like a wealthy family living in the Great Depression, and they're really struggling now. But because they're wealthy, they're used to being wealthy, but they're kind of no longer wealthy. They're trying to still live this lifestyle when they really can. And for Teddy, obviously that's really wearing off on him, and he wishes that he could be the one to, I guess, save the day or rescue that. So I believe that the title is partially referring to that. I also think partially the story is referring to, and I guess we're gonna get into spoiler territory now. So, spoiler territory, check out now or stick around if you don't care. So, basically, I wonder if the title is possibly referring to how Teddy views his father. Because his father, the relationship with his father is a really big deal in this book. Basically, his father. Well, okay, so there's a scene where Teddy is at the beach with his family, and his father takes him out to the ocean to swim. And they go back pretty far in the ocean, and Teddy's kind of nervous. And his dad says, "You know, don't worry about it. I'm gonna teach you how to ride the waves." And at first, Teddy is kind of nervous, you know, as a child would be in that situation. And the wave comes and it hits him, and he just is unable to ride it. So his dad's teaching him like when to kind of jump up and how to let the wave carry you and all that stuff. And it's actually a really touching scene, probably the most touching scene in the book. And Teddy, in that moment, his father picks him up and is holding him, and you know, he's very tan from the sun. And Teddy, in that moment, just admires his dad so much. He feels so safe in his arms, and it's something that he looks back on quite frequently in the book, even saying it out loud one time to his one of his grandmothers. So it's a very significant moment in his life. Some troubling scenes in the book as well. Oh, well, okay, before I even get to that, gotta finish my thought. I think the Wizard's Tide is referring to the tide of the ocean from that particular scene. But anyway, kind of the thing about Teddy's father, and this is the part that kind of troubled me about the book, I think Buechner's very good at catching the nuances of human beings and, you know, how we are very hypocritical and messed up, but also really good deep down. But I think Buechner, in that sentiment, almost kind of misses the point of his own book, because the father in this book is quite troubling to me. He basically, by the end of the book, I don't want to say ruins his family's life, but he doesn't do them any favors. Basically, throughout the book, the father is trying to get a business going with a friend, and he needs money to invest. But they don't have money to invest. So he goes to his mother, who's very harsh, very critical, but very rich. Sorry if I've been hitting my microphone with my book. I apologize. Oh my gosh, that probably sounded awful. So he asks his mother for the money. She gives it to him. He runs out of money, and then there's a scene where Teddy's mom freaks out and is yelling at his father because he apparently went into her savings and stole all of it without her permission for his investment. And he keeps saying, oh, honey, don't worry about it. It's going to be fine. You know, it's just for this business. We're going to earn it all back. It's fine. So, which like brings up another point that like Teddy throughout the book, he hates hearing his parents argue. And in that sense, I could relate to it greatly. Even today, as an adult, I hear my parents argue and I become very uncomfortable. So I think that's a very childlike observation. I thought that was a nice detail. They argue quite a bit in the book, mostly due to his father a lot of the time. Because that's another thing, his father gets drunk a lot. In one scene, he just pulls up on the lawn because he's drunk. He drove home drunk. He's drunk quite a bit in the book. One time, actually, the mother kicks him out and won't give him the keys. Like, she gives the keys to Teddy and says, do not give them to your father, even if he asks. And Teddy, thankfully, does not give them to him. So, continuing, the product that he's making is glass that's not to crack in high temperature situations. So he brings the glass home, they put boiling water in the sink, and they put the glass in there. And he says it will last, but after 3 minutes, it starts to crack. So he's just like, his parents are disappointed, he is clearly embarrassed, and you're thinking, oh my god, like, he took all this money. Like, what is he gonna do now? So then the book ends with him basically after that, going to his kids, saying goodbye to them. Like, I just knew, I was like, he's not coming home. And my intent, like, when I read, or my, not my intent, my observation when I read this passage, when he's saying goodbye to his children, was that he's saying goodbye and he's leaving them. He's gonna leave his wife. But I guess it was a bit of a naive interpretation of the text, because he actually commits suicide. It's not explicitly said that he commits suicide, but it's heavily implied. It says that he was trying to catch a train and it hit him. And the book kind of ends on this note of like Teddy reflecting on his father and being like, you know, I know what he did and I know why he did it. And for that, I can't fault him. Basically, that's what he says. And I'm like, but you can fault him. And this book is, you know, being told from obviously the future, reflecting on the past. And I think it's a bit naive on the part of the text to assume that, you know, Teddy, of course Teddy's okay, he's a child, you know, he'll be fine hopefully in the end, but considering the circumstances that happened, like, his father did not leave his family off very well. Like, he left them without money, without a father. That's incredibly selfish of him. And I guess for me, I just think that the book missed missed something along the way. And it's not to say the book's not well written. It is well written. It very often it's very obsessed with what the past was like, constantly saying, well, such and such was called this in the past, but now it's called this. And back then we did this, but now we do this. And it's like, all right, you know, it's just, it happened so often that it felt like it was taking me out of the narrative a bit. And I felt like I just couldn't figure out the voice of this book. And it was a bit frustrating. A lot of the reviews I've seen are talking about the beautiful prose. And look, Buchner, he's an incredible writer. But my personal opinion is that this is the least strong book, the weakest book, the weakest book that I've read by him. And I've read quite a few of his books at this point. It's just, it lacks, even though it does have a sense of nuance to it, it lacks the, I guess, the usually the depth of understanding that his books usually have. You know, because even though I disliked a lot of the Book of Beb, what I appreciated about it was the observations that it presented and just how, I guess I keep using this word, so it's a bit overused, but like nuanced it was to approaching religion and human nature. And this book, it really has nothing to do with religion, so that really has nothing to do with it. And yes, it has some nuances, but really it's a very, it's written as if a child were reflecting on it in that moment. And that would be fine if it didn't feel like an adult were writing the book. Because I think there is something to be said about a child's perspective and them being limited. Of course, an adult can be limited as well, but I think an adult perspective can be limited in a different way than how a child's perspective would feel like. So, yeah, I'm not gonna harp on it too much. It's just that this book, it was just okay. Like, I gave it 3 stars. It was an interesting read for sure, but, you know, for such a short book, again, only over like 100 pages, I really struggled to get through it. And I, when I closed it, I was like, thank God, because it kind of let me down. None of the characters really popped out to me. They all the book kind of felt like it was actually trying to mimic what other coming of age novels do themselves. Like, it almost felt sometimes like a To Kill a Mockingbird-ish book. And even like one of the reviews in the back says, achieves the hard-won simplicity reminiscent of The Old Man and the Sea and The Great Gatsby. And when I saw that they compared this book to The Great Gatsby, I really kind of have to take a step back, because I really wonder who wrote that review and who actually thought that they could compare The Wizard's Tide to The Great Gatsby, one of easily the best pieces of literature in American history. It's just very perplexing to me that even you would put them on the same plane, because they're not. This book does not carry the same weight of symbolism and just the brilliant writing and stuff that Fitzgerald has in The Great Gatsby. I do think it's a bit unfair to even compare those books, because they're not on the same plane. Why would you do that? Because ultimately The Wizard's Tide is gonna fall short. I think it's just like Gatsby's just too good. So my point in saying all this is that I can't even say I enjoyed the book. I thought it was fine, but ultimately, it's definitely one of the weakest that Buchner has written, and I'm really hoping that when I return to him, I get something that I really enjoy, because up until this point, the only book I enjoyed was the first book I read, and it's a shame, because I've been looking forward to the rest of his novels and nonfiction, and none have really caught me in the same way. And of course, you know, I shouldn't put that burden on him, but I do hope to enjoy his work in the future. So, once again, that's The Wizard's Tide by Frederick Buchner. I believe you can buy it on Amazon. I don't believe it's out of print, but it's a little short book, so, you know, you probably can make it through. But again, don't let this be a put off to Buchner, because I know I kind of like didn't give this book any sort of positive stuff to talk about for the most part, but like, seriously, he's not a bad writer. He writes a lot of great fiction, and I don't want to put that past you. I would definitely check out his work because I think he is an author that often gets overlooked by American literature, and it's a shame because I think he has so much to offer in that department if people would just pay attention. So yeah, definitely check him out. Maybe don't check out The Wizard's Tide. Maybe check out something else. But yeah, he's on Amazon. He got tons of books. He's great. So those are my thoughts on The Wizard's Tide. First book I read, 2019. I haven't been reading that much, like I said, but I'm going to try to read more so I can record more podcast episodes. Of course, I'll be coming out with some Wednesday episodes soon. I have one that I don't think I posted when I was supposed to post it in December, so I might be posting that a little late. And more Wednesday topics, as well as favorite books, and of course, eventually Les Miserables. So with all that being said, perhaps I will get into more shape in the coming weeks and not feel like, oh my god, I can't breathe. Like, I'm just walking back and forth. But apparently my lungs are like twigs. So, you know, what can you do? But anyway, thanks for listening. Real quick, actually, you know what, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I have a quick announcement for everybody. So don't go away. All right, thanks for coming back to the show. I have a quick announcement that I want to spread the word about. First things first is that Babat Podcast is changing a bit soon. I don't know what that will look like at the moment, but just be on the lookout. Changing our website, having a podcast network, it's all coming together. And I even say that stuff, but like, nothing is final yet. Brittany and I are figuring it out. So just be patient with us, but good things are coming. Good things are coming and changes are coming. So be aware of that. This show is not going anywhere, but it is a part of that. So, you know, just so you know. And the other thing is that the big project that I'm working on is a digital magazine online for free. Anybody can read it. It's called Level Story. And it is a passion project of mine. I really, really, I've been wanting to do this for a long time. Level Story, I should probably tell you what it's about. Level Story is about story and video games. Video games, you know, I love books, but I equally love video games. And I think that there's not a lot of discourse going on about story and video games, at least in a way that people talk about story and books and, you know, the like. So I think that, you know, this is something that I've been wanting to do for a very long time. I was starting off in like the video stuff, but I quickly came apparent that I was struggling with it. But I actually really love creating magazines, so this was a lot of fun. The first issue is out, levelstory.net. You can go there for all the information. And yeah, it's a fun time. But seriously, please check it out. It's awesome. The second issue will be out in April, so be on the lookout for that. Because it means a lot to me. I really want to make something of this. So, you know, fingers crossed to go somewhere. All right. So with all that being said, thanks for listening to my book review today. Again, hopefully new episodes will be coming out soon. But, you know, very busy at the moment, so can't make any promises. But again, I really want to post more episodes because I do enjoy this show. And I hope you're enjoying it too. So with all that, thanks for listening. I'm starving, so I'm probably gonna get some lunch now. I will talk to you all later. Goodbye.